Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN from ABC News is Alex Stone. Alex, thanks very much for being with us, and give us the very latest developments.
Well, I mean, pretty chilling video that we got today. It seems like something out of a nightmare, out of a movie, but it would be a horror film to see somebody standing at your front door with this mask on, ski mask, totally covering what looks like a male, his face, with only his eyes and mouth showing, holding a flashlight in his mouth at times, and putting the light on the doorbell camera. He had gloves on, a zip-up sweatshirt, a gun in his waistband, a backpack on, and that he seems very calm, that he walks around, grabs brush from around the front door area, tries to put that kind of deserty brush over the camera. That doesn't work. Seems to eventually, from what we know, just destroy or remove the camera. But yeah, pretty incredible, Tom, that Google was able to retrieve the photos and videos from what the FBI says is back-end system at Google, the owner of Nest, because they said that it didn't exist, that she wasn't paying for a subscription to save the video to put it up into the cloud. And so they didn't think that it was going to be anywhere they could retrieve it. And even though she wasn't paying for that, that Google was able to get this video and get the photos out of there, even though they allegedly didn't exist. So this is a big step. This is the first real piece of evidence. You know, even a couple of days ago, the sheriff of Pima County was saying that he didn't really know that this was a kidnapping or what kind of crime it was. They were just going based on the evidence that was left behind, but they didn't have any insight into who it was or actually went on. They've now got that, the face, the body, very covered. But now hopefully somebody says, I know that guy, I know that sweatshirt, I know that ski mask, you know, I know that walk, the look of the way he holds himself, and that somebody is now going to report that to the FBI. But this is a very big step.
Alex, remind me to get back into those specifics of what might be gained with the video stills and videos that have been released today. But I want to get back to that video. I understand that there might be some issues with the retention of video, but did it really have to take over a week?
Well, it's a good question of how long they've had this, because they claimed they did not have it, and now all of a sudden they do have it, and we don't know if they got it this morning or yesterday or over the weekend, and we're kind of sitting on it, waiting to, not that they would sit on it out of spite in any way, but more to figure out if they could work with it and determine who it was and then eventually go public. The Boston Marathon bombers are a good example of where they got that, and they had it for about a day, and they tried to work with it, and then they determined as a group of investigators that they had no other leads, and they decided, let's put this out there, and they put it out there, and then immediately they knew who it was. The public and the crowdsourcing of the public can be a very big investigative tool, and I would argue sometimes law enforcement waits too long to do that because they want to do everything, you know, within the investigation, not blow anything, but you put it out there, and very quickly that you can get millions of eyes and ears on it and then move forward and solve a crime. So we'll see.
Alex, I've got a problem with that, because if I went to the grocery store today and stole a T-bone, my face would be on the 6 o'clock news. I don't understand, when you have a case involving life and death and such exigencies, if law enforcement had it, I think they should have released it right away.
Yeah, and we don't know. Maybe they just got it this morning. They are not telling us. You know, this was a message on X from Kash Patel, the way that they released it, and now through a more official news release that they put it out there. But yeah, these are unusual times for the way things are released, and so we can't ask a lot of questions of the background on it. We'll eventually get it through sources or other ways, or they'll eventually say it. But they may have only gotten it this morning. We know that Google had initially said they had no video, that they could not retrieve the video, but they had computer techs working on it around the clock trying to see if they could find anywhere in their systems where this video went. So it may have taken a week, and maybe only this morning they said, FBI, guess what? we were able to find where it went in our back end system, and it is there, and here you go. So they may have only had it for a matter of hours, or, you know, quite often in many of these cases, they may have had it for a day or so, and then decided it was time to put it out.
Well, that's fair enough. I think I understand that. Alex Stone is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Alex is with ABC News. Let's get back to the video. What have we learned that would be of evidentiary value to law enforcement about the person who is, the prime suspect? What is there that's identifiable about anything like this? I'm sure the FBI probably has somebody on staff who's an expert in ski masks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. And you know, eye structure and lip structure and all of that. It looks to me like this guy has a mustache. You can see in some of the photos that where you see a little bit of the upper lip where the ski mask isn't covering it. And it looks like a mustache. That could also be a shadow, but that's one distinguishable feature that would help them try to identify somebody. There is a gun as well in his waistband, so now we know that he had a weapon. We don't know, there's no proof it was ever fired, but that whatever he was doing, and you know, again, this could have been just a burglary and something went very wrong, that they have believed that through all of this that she was kidnapped. But what was the original intent going in there? Was it to go after her and to specifically take her or to hurt her? Or was this somebody in the neighborhood who was, you know, scouting out a home and thought nobody was in there or whatever and went in and then things went bad from there? They don't know that. We don't know that yet. But all of this, they will get height out of this video based on where he's standing compared to what they know about the makeup of her front doorstep and the brick around it. We'll get weight. We'll get all of that. And then slowly the information will go out. But again, the hope is going to be that somebody's going to say, hey, my brother has that sweatshirt and those gloves, and he's been acting really weird lately. And then they will be able to unravel this all very quickly. And quite often, that's the way it goes once they put this kind of thing out there.
Alex, two questions. Number one, the communications from the alleged abductor. Do law enforcement people agree that they are legit? Number two, what's the consensus among law enforcement? Is she still alive?
So there's a split on the letters because there are those who believe that there's enough information, and I've read the first one. It's information about the crime that was relatively well known, about an Apple Watch and about a smashing of a backdoor camera. There had been reporting on at least the Apple Watch portion of that. So you can look at that and say, hey, it's somebody around the world who took a nugget of information and tried to make it seem like that they knew what they were talking about, or maybe it was really the kidnapper and that it is authentic. The letters go back to different IP addresses, but the person was using the same type of encrypted browser. They believe the same person wrote the first letter and the second letter, but if either of them are authentic, they have no idea. There are agents who believe it is authentic. There are agents who say no way. This is some dude sitting in, you know, whatever country, because they're using a VPN, a virtual private network, to mask where they are. Let's say they're in China or in Vietnam, and they're sitting there hoping that they get $6 million into their Bitcoin account. And that very well, the family could have decided, we don't think that they have, but could have decided to pay that just on the hope that then she would have been released. Or it could be authentic. They really don't know. On the other, they don't know either. I mean, quite honestly, there has been no sign that she's alive. But there's been no sign that she's dead either. And if the original information that the family gave to law enforcement that she had to have medication within 24 hours or would die, if that is real and not just a, you know, a ploy or kind of stretching the truth to try to entice the person to give her back sooner, then she's not alive any longer. They don't know. But there's nothing indicating she's alive. Savannah Guthrie today said the family believes she's alive, but we just don't know.
I know you've only got about 90 seconds left. The blood at the scene, apparently from Nancy. How much weight are the authorities giving that in determining the level of violence she suffered?
It's not a lot of blood. It's not a ton of blood. And blood spatter experts look at it and say that it was from fairly close to the ground. So maybe she was being dragged. Maybe she had a cut on her head or bloody nose or something like that. It is not a bleed out type situation where you look at it and say there's no way somebody survived this because they were mortally wounded. This looks like she had a slight injury. So you know, did she get hit in the head or fall or something like that? And then the person dragged her out of there. Maybe they just don't know. Or maybe she was mortally wounded. And you know, that is what it was left behind. That's what got on the front porch. But it's not a lot of blood. It's a dozen droplets of blood. And so they don't know. It's definitely hers. It shows she had an injury, but how severe it was, it doesn't seem like it was all that severe.
Well, thank you very much, Alex Stone, ABC News. We let you go because we live up to our commitments to you, sir. Alex Stone, ABC News.
You got it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. With the very latest on the Nancy Guthrie situation.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.